Thank you so much for joining us today on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. This is Modern Tech News, and we are very honored and privileged to welcome our guest today, Ori Inbar, co-founder and CEO of AugmentedReality.org. Ori recently gave a keynote speech at the Sensors Expo and Conference in San Jose, California, where he talked about how augmented reality will help advance humanity. In today's interview, Ori will give us a brief summary of his keynote speech. Ori also gave us the names of some of the leading companies in augmented reality, and he talked about the economic impact of augmented reality in the next few years and how augmented reality will change the world. For more information about Ori Inbar, please visit his website, augmentedreality.org. To start today's interview, we asked Ori about what is augmented reality.
Augmented reality is about overlaying information on the real world. Be on a smartphone where you add a mask on your face, or it could be with smart glasses where it could help you train how to use a new machine, or you could use a projector which projects information on something that you're doing in the real world, and it's all with the intention to enhance your abilities to engage and perform the task at hand.
And what is the mission of your company, AugmentedReality.org?
AugmentedReality.org is a nonprofit organization that has a mission to advance the augmented reality industry because we believe it can advance humanity. We started that years ago. We set up a goal to achieve 1 billion users of augmented reality by the end of this decade, by 2020. And we're doing this through education, through connecting people, and by accelerating startups that are coming into the space.
Could you give us an idea of when augmented reality was first researched and discovered, and why do you think it's going to have a big impact in the future?
So augmented reality has been invented in the late 60s by a fellow named Ian Sutherland, which invented both augmented reality and virtual reality single-handedly. Nobody called it that at the time, but it had all the ingredients. But since then, it was practically hidden in labs around the world where people were experimenting with that, were using it a little bit in the military. But only in the last few years, we started to see it coming to the real world in terms of using it for industrial or enterprise applications and also some consumer-oriented applications. I got fascinated with it because it does something really cool. It takes kids and adults away from the screen, from the computer screen or the mobile screen, and make them more engaged in the real world, whether it's with people, with things, with, you know, the surrounding environment. And it enhances any task that you perform in your life, whether it's for entertainment or work.
You mentioned that Ian Sutherland invented augmented reality and virtual reality. Could you tell us the difference between both?
Sure. So virtual reality, which we've seen a lot, is about putting a screen in front of your face and blocking you from the real world and transporting you into a different world. It could be a 360 video that was generated in another part of the world, or it could be a completely fantastic world. Augmented reality actually keeps you where you are in the real world and only adds information to it. And again, it could be done through smart phones or smart glasses or even projection. So you still are aware of what's happening around you, but you get additional information to augment whatever experience you have.
You're a keynote speaker at the Sensors Expo and Conference in San Jose in June 2017, and the title of your keynote was Superpowers to Change the World, How Augmented Reality Helps Advance Humanity. Could you share with us some of the highlights of your keynote speech?
Absolutely. So, I mean, besides kind of providing an introduction to how people are using augmented reality today, which I think will surprise many people that it has been much more adopted than most people believe. But I think beyond just, you know, a cool technology, it is already making an impact on the world in really positive ways. And these are the things that we'd like to encourage people to think about. So we believe it really can change the world by improving humanity's condition on different levels, from driving economic growth to providing access to healthcare and knowledge all over the world, and all the way to creating more collaboration and empathy around people in the world, as well as promoting sustainability.
Could you give us some examples of how augmented reality could influence economic growth?
So let me give you a few examples of how augmented reality is being adopted today in enterprises around the world. One simple example is, you know, you put on your smart glasses and it gives you instructions how to perform a task in your work, whether it's fixing a machine in a remote location, or maybe picking items in a warehouse, or maybe even performing a surgery. And that information allows you to be more productive at what you do, increase your accuracy, and in many cases also improving the safety of that specific action. And in the past couple of years, we've seen dozens of pilot projects that demonstrated improvement of productivity between 20 to 50%.
Are the glasses that you just mentioned similar to Google Glass?
So yeah, Google Glass is one of the first that has been adopted in enterprises. And although it might not have been a great success for consumers, it's actually being used quite a bit today in the large companies around the world. And there's many other smart glasses in the market, which are better than Google Glass in many ways. Some of the leading companies in the space right now are Epson, the creator of the projectors, are now creating smart glasses that can be used for augmented reality. There's a company called Vuzix, which has been one of the leading companies in driving smart glasses into enterprise use cases. And there's a company called ODG out of San Francisco, which has a great standalone, cool-looking glasses that are being adopted widely at this point.
Could you give us some other augmented reality examples that are not related to glasses that people wear?
Of course. There's actually some really interesting examples where projection is used on the assembly line in factories, for example. So you have a table with all the pieces that you need to use to put together, you know, a table or a machine or an electronic board. And above the table, you have a projector and a camera. Detect every step that you take and project information that helps you go through the process. And many studies have shown that it improves the speed in which you can complete your task, the accuracy. And also, if you have, you know, a new worker, the training process is much faster because you can basically train on the job while getting all the instruction on how to perform the task in real time. So it has shown to, again, improve the productivity of the overall floor plan, as well as, you know, getting a better way to supervise the progress of all your workers and to help them train faster.
Could you give us other examples of how augmented reality can be used in healthcare?
I think that's an area where augmented reality can really revolutionize access to healthcare and knowledge in general. One of the most common use cases right now is called remote expert assistance. You have a person in the field, could be a nurse or a surgeon, that wear the glasses. On all the glasses, there's a camera that allows an expert somewhere else in the world, in the back office, so to speak, to see through your eyes what you're performing and help guide you through the process. So you could have a nurse trying to save a person in a remote location where there's no access to doctors, and that remote surgeon or expert could help guide the nurse through how to save that person. That's been adopted. Some surgeons have been adopting it, as well as mechanics, as well as just people that want to learn about their environment, and using the smart glasses that can get access to the world's information in their field of view.
However, if we have a nurse in a remote location communicating with a physician in a high-tech place, why would the nurse need to wear glasses? Why not just use a camera and send those pictures to the physician in the high-tech hospital?
I think the big difference is that once you have glasses that show you information near your eye and also have a camera, your hands can be free to perform the task at hand. Theoretically, you could use a smartphone to hold it in front of your face. It has a camera, it has a screen, but then again, your hands are tied holding the phone or the tablet or whatever it is. And in many of those cases, you need your hands to perform the task. That's really the big advantage. The other thing is that the interaction with smart glasses becomes more natural. You don't have to type words. You don't have to even use your fingers to swipe the screen or what have you, or the mouse. You can actually use natural gestures or even use your gaze to interact with the information. And it becomes much more natural than what we're used to with computers today.
Could you give us an idea of how many sensors these augmented reality glasses use other than the camera?
So sensors are obviously a big part of augmented reality in general and specifically on smart glasses, because in order to provide information about the environment around you, the context that you're in, you need to sense what's happening around you. So anything from accelerometers and gyros that understand your position against the world, not just cameras, but also depth sensors that can understand the shapes of things around you, the space that you're in, and based on that, overlay information in a way that seems natural. And there's also some examples where sensors that can detect things through walls, actually allowing some workers to see what's happening behind a wall, or heat detectors that can show you in a dark environment or in an environment where it's really hard to see certain information, those heat sensors can show you information that is typically not visible to the naked eye.
You're listening to KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. This is Modern Tech News, and our guest today is Ori Inbar, CEO and founder of AugmentedReality.org. Ori will now give us some examples of how augmented reality might help with climate change and sustainability.
I think in general it will have an impact on sustainability in the sense that when you can simulate things, you don't have to build everything in hardware. You don't have to build so much stuff as we are building today. An example is a wind tunnel. So usually you have to build this big environment to test how a car will behave when it's driving, and it's very expensive. With augmented reality, you can simulate the wind around the car and based on that extract the same kind of information that you would from building a lot of stuff. And also, you know, the example I gave before for the remote expert assistance, you don't have to fly experts to all the different parts of the world to help solve problems. They can actually remain in their office, and using the cameras and smart glasses, they can actually help a larger number of people to solve those issues. So, you know, it's going to reduce the energy consumption. It's going to reduce the amount of things and hardware that we need to build by simulating things. And I think that will have, over time, an impact. Some people call it the end of hardware because you're not going to have to build so much stuff. You'll be able to simulate information and things. So we believe it's going to have a big impact on sustainability.
Who is leading the research on augmented reality for wind tunnels?
So, you know, the automotive industry has been one of the first to adopt augmented reality, whether it's on the factory floor, in the design process, in testing, and even in sales and marketing and in dealerships. So, you know, you look at names like BMW, Audi, Mercedes, Land Rover, and Porsche. They've all been adopting AR, whether it's using smartphones or tablets or using smart glasses like HoloLens from Microsoft, which in this specific example, it was able to simulate how the wind will blow around the car.
Could you please repeat the name of the smart glasses?
The name of the smart glasses in this case is called HoloLens from Microsoft. Most of the big automotive companies have been adopting it for various stages in the product lifecycle.
Earlier in today's show, you mentioned that your vision and the mission of AugmentedReality.org is to get 1 billion users of augmented reality by 2020. You have an augmented reality accelerator and an augmented reality expo. But could you please give us some idea of how you plan to get the 1 billion users of augmented reality in about 3 years?
So, yeah, the organization has announced that it will help educate, connect, and accelerate the industry. And one of the best or most effective ways to achieve that is by creating Augmented World Expo, or AWE. which started 8 years ago. And it was a great way to get together all the key players in industry. Back then, we had 300 people in the room. This year, we had nearly 5,000 people with over 200 exhibitors. It was a great place for all the key players in the industry to come together to form partnerships, as well as for Fortune 1000 companies that are looking for solutions in this space to come and check out everything that is out there. And we believe that has helped create a lot of growth for this industry. It gives a lot of energy. Many partnerships are formed. Many new startups are born. Many investments occur because you have investors and startups coming together. But that's been kind of one of the biggest contributions, I believe, that we have towards that goal. But in addition, we also help drive awareness to augmented reality through different meetups around the world. We have about 20 meetups that we help run around the world where people introduce the concepts, show demos to a wide variety of people. And recently, we also started a new fund that helps invest specifically in AR startups. And we already invested in eight companies through sort of an incubator where we bring together a network of mentors that help these startups succeed in driving their product and adoption around it.
Could you tell us which was your favorite startup among those eight?
So, you know, it's kind of hard to pick favorites. It's, you know, like your children. You love them all. But, you know, if you look at the last Augmented World Expo that took place in Santa Clara, three of our startups kind of made their launch and created a lot of interest in the market. One of them is called Massless, a startup from the UK, which is creating the 3D pen for both virtual reality and augmented reality. So designers and architects and engineers that need to design in 3D can now do it in 3D instead of the typical way, which is on a computer screen in two dimensions. That created a lot of interest. A second one is called Quantum Capture, which automates the creation of avatars and their behaviors. We believe that avatars will be kind of a big thing, not just in entertainment, but also in enterprises that will use those as, you know, customer service people, as well as people that you can interact with on behalf of the company, and will have the likeness of actual people in the organization. You could have the CEO talk to you and explain to you how to use a product, for example. So these guys have automated the process from months of effort to down to just a few days. It's bound to revolutionize how people create and use avatars.
On your website, augmentedreality.org, you mentioned that you have an accelerator that startups can join where mentors bring unmatched expertise and will help the startups. How can companies join your accelerator program, and how does the program help them?
Yeah, the easiest way is just to submit online. You can go to augmentedreality.org and submit your name, or Super Ventures, which is the fund and incubator. Just, you know, fill your information and we'll be in touch with you. We try to help everyone, whether we invest or not. We've helped, I think, hundreds of startups so far. Anything from getting funding to getting introductions to customers or to mentors and advisors. Because we've built this incredible network of 1,000 companies and hundreds of experts over the past decade, and we're now putting it to use to help the community.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our guest, Ori Inbar, has dedicated his life to promoting augmented reality. He has a great passion for the field, and he will now tell us how he became fascinated by augmented reality.
You're right. It's totally driven by passion. About a decade ago, after years in startups and some large corporation, I wanted to look for a new thing. And then I realized that my kids are always stuck in front of the computer screen, either, you know, playing video games or on the internet. And I felt like we need to find a way to extract some of the things that attract kids and adults to computers and bring it into the real world. And that's when I discovered augmented reality. And I felt like it can really change the way we interact with the world and make us better at everything we do. That's why we call it superpowers to the people, because it really gives you superpowers in anything that you do in your life. And that became kind of my mission, to find a way to bring it to the masses and help drive the adoption.
Could you give us some examples of how augmented reality is being used in education?
Absolutely. So right now we're seeing anything from using smartphones or tablets to make playing with physical objects more interesting, to kind of combine some of the things that kids like in video games and bring it into physical play. And many studies have shown that once you play with physical objects, but you make it feel like a video game, it enhances your ability to retain the knowledge from or the educational aspect of this game. So, you know, companies like Shell Games, which have created Happy Atoms, is a great example. You can learn chemistry by playing with real objects and enhancing it with augmented reality. But we're also seeing it as a way to learn how to read. It's not really necessarily for kids, but I think it demonstrates the power of this technology. When I travel, you know, in China or in Japan, and I cannot read any of the signs or the menus, I have this augmented reality app called Waygo, which allows me to instantly translate everything that I look at. So all of a sudden, I can understand everything that is happening around me. And once you apply that to different things that kids could learn about the world, I think you can see how it can really help with education and training and just improving ourselves.
So any parent who would like their kids to learn chemistry can get Happy Atoms.
That's right.
And how does Waygo work?
So actually, it's available on smartphone. All you have to do is just run the app and point it to sign on the street or a menu in a restaurant, and it reads the text, makes the translation, and then writes on top of it in your own language, typically English, the translation of that word. So when you look around, you basically feel like you understand everything. It's a huge advantage for people to travel because it's impossible even to search for things, right? I mean, you don't know how to type it. Even if you could type it, you don't know how to type it. So just being able to use the camera to detect the information and translate it in real time is a huge benefit.
Do you have any idea how many people are using Waygo?
I don't have the number from the top of my head, but we believe it's in the tens of thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands. And then obviously it's something that you do when you travel. I think, you know, anyone that is going to a country where they cannot read the local language should look at applications like that.
How can people get in touch with you?
I'd be happy to entertain any communication. You can just reach me at my email, ori@augmentedreality.org, and I'd be happy to help, either point you in the right direction, or if it's a startup, maybe talk about an investment, or if you're just interested in connecting with some mentors or folks, I would be happy to help you out.
Before leaving our guest, Ori Inbar, I wanted to know what advice he would give students who would like to work in the field of augmented reality.
I think that the big advice I have is that although it may seem in the far future, this is happening right now. And whoever gets in right now will have a big advantage because this is a point in time where everything is being invented in this new computer wave. There's a lot to learn and a lot to create. And if you wait until it becomes, you know, mainstream, it might be too late. So this is really a unique opportunity in time to be one of the pioneers, one of the early adopters of this amazing technology.
Was it easy to start your company, augmentedreality.org, about 10 years ago when not many people were working in augmented reality?
I started about a decade ago, and initially it was just about trying to learn what's happening. And I did it by documenting my pursuit of the ultimate augmented reality experience in my blog. And that became a great way to connect with people and to learn about things in the world. And then later on, decided to form my first company in augmented reality, which was called Augmento, with the goal to develop augmented reality games. And then, you know, gradually from there, we felt like it's such an early stage in this industry that we need to join forces and get together. And that was the impetus for forming augmentedreality.org as a way to bring together all the key players in the industry and help advance it.
You You've been listening to Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we would like to thank our guest, Ori Inbar, very much for his time and for today's interview. If you would like more information about Ori Inbar, please visit his website, augmentedreality.org. And if you would like more information about his keynote speech at the Sensors Expo and conference in San Jose, California, please visit their website, sensorsexpo.com. And if you would like a copy of today's interview, please download it from moderntechnews.com. That's moderntechnews.com.